You're listening to LawPod UK from the creators of the UK Human Rights Blog. It's a podcast that discusses developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. LawPod UK is produced by the barristers at 1 Crown Office Row. Now, for many years, it's been a strange anomaly of the law that in the United Kingdom, abortion is still illegal in Northern Ireland. In addition, residents of Northern Ireland have been unable to access free abortion services under the National Health Service in England. A recent case which has reached the Supreme Court has focused our attention on the issue. And Rosalind English, you've been looking at this case for us. Why is it so interesting?
Well, it's interesting on a number of grounds. It might come as a surprise to some people that something as fundamental as access to abortion or termination of pregnancy under the NHS is not available across the United Kingdom. The Supreme Court decided that it was the case that it was only available to women normally resident in England, and the women coming from Northern Ireland, which they do in their thousands every year, do not come within that category.
And what are the implications, therefore, and where does it go from here?
What has happened in the past and what has crystallised in this litigation is that women in Northern Ireland cannot obtain a legal abortion under anything other than the most exceptional circumstances. There has to be serious risk of long-term psychological or physical harm to a woman who's been raped or has been given very good reason to think that she's carrying a deformed fetus. And in fact, the woman who brought this case, well, in fact, she was a girl, she's a 15-year-old girl, who'd been victim of sexual assault. She'd had to come to England with her mother, with all the stigma and stress, the travel involved. And when she got here, like many other women from Northern Ireland in her position, she found there wasn't any possibility of getting a free abortion. So she had to go to a private clinic.
So just explain why this anomaly exists in the first place, that the principle of uniform law on this issue doesn't exist in the United Kingdom.
Yes, it's very interesting because this case is not about medical law. It's about the whole question of devolved authority. The provision of medical services is a devolved matter for the Northern Irish government and other governments under the devolved system of the United Kingdom. The NHS obligation under the NHS Act relates only to the Secretary of State's duties for people living in England. In fact, what the Act says is for the improvement of health of the people of England. And the case turned on this question of who are the people of England.
It's quite an interesting case because it was such a narrow majority at the
Indeed.
Supreme Court. Just explain what the points of argument were.
The majority decided, to put it very shortly, that the Secretary of State for Health, under the National Health Act, only owed a duty to the people of England. It's a very strange concept, but there we go. That's how the NHS Act is worded. The other primary duty of the Secretaries of State under that Act is to make provision for the improvement of health and the prevention of illness and the treatment and diagnosis of people in England. That's a different clause. People of England as opposed to people in England. What is in question here falls within that second section. So people in England include Northern Irish women visiting England seeking termination of a pregnancy. Lord Kerr, who gave the main dissent, gave, for example, a woman from Northern Ireland visiting England who suffers from acute appendicitis. Well, of course she's going to have an appendectomy free on the NHS. In what way is that different from a woman seeking an abortion? Why must she pay for the procedure? How can that be right? And Lady Hale, who gave a shorter dissent, took the point that pregnancy is not the same as something that might be regarded as an illness. It's a whole different thing, that therefore it should come within the rather broader provision of the Secretary of State's duty to improve health and prevent illness.
This is all a very sensitive and, some say, private matter. Why has it become so public in this case?
Well, indeed, it's part of what I think and what seems to be a general debate which is being carried on a very public stage about people's ability to beget or get rid of babies. There's a recent case in the Strasbourg court about people travelling to the United States, where, for example, surrogacy arrangements, commercial surrogacy arrangements, are legal. It's very interesting that although a country, for religious or whatever reasons, is trying to control the ability of people to have or not have children, there is nothing to stop them, in criminal law, going and doing it somewhere else.
And the case sort of turns on the idea of residency.
And it all turns on the idea of residency, which is a fraught issue these days. And we don't really know how sustainable this notion of people of England is, particularly for the provision of free healthcare services.
As this case has been resolved, as it seems, at the Supreme Court, but potentially not resolved for the long-term future, what happens next?
Well, the appellant has declared her intention to take this case to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. And the grounds on which it will be argued is that she has a right to privacy and autonomy under Article 8, and that she has been discriminated on grounds of her residential status in breach of Article 14 of the European Human Rights Convention.
Well, let's keep an eye on the case and we'll look forward to more updates in the future.
Indeed.
For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and recommend us to a friend.